What's happening, Ally Privet? I'm Peter Ostrasser, Disrupt Education. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I don't think we've been so excited or like planned out for an episode ever.
I know. This is one where I just kind of came across some things and I'm like, wait, this is different now. So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about overall big picture is like we're trying to empower teachers and make you realize that the job market is vastly different than maybe it was the last time you went into education. And if you are just into education or thinking about getting into education, the landscape is vastly different of like applying for a job and the job market. And now is the time of year. So we're coming at you in February 2024. Because this is hiring season for most school districts, not all, but for most. And the process for getting hired and the power position, Peter and I feel like, has transitioned from the school districts being in the power seat and making the decision to the teachers really being in the power seat now. And we, with that shift in the job market as a whole, there are some things that I think educators, and Peter, you feel this way as well, that like can help you with understanding kind of where your empowerment can lie right now and moving forward. Because I didn't experience this kind of environment when I was interviewing, and the last time I was applying for a teacher position, you didn't either. And so we've seen some big shifts, and we want to talk about those and hopefully empower a ton of teachers, whether you're looking for a job or not looking for a job, because it's also negotiation time and contracts and everything. So this is like coming at you hopefully in a timely manner to address some things that we're seeing. And basically, what do teachers need to look for before they pick a school and kind of potentially sign a contract with a school district?
Let's go on a job fair with teachers. Let's do it. What's interesting, what you said there was really different now. And it's not, schools in districts don't quite understand this yet. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a crazy teacher shortage that's happening, right? However, I want to give a lot of people the idea and the understanding of what used to happen and now how it's changing. So I've been into 5 different high schools. So I've done this process, 5 times. And when I did that, it was always like, I hope this school is going to hire me, right? And if you got like hired, then it was like, okay, great. But now, as I kind of went through it, the last time we actually needed to hire an educator, there was nobody in the pool. Nobody. Zero. And I'm in the Chicago area. So this is a big, and I'm a business educator. So there are certain areas where it's starting to come through. And what happened was we had to look from within to see who was close enough to transfer their certificate to get some of the credentials they needed to teach. And we got 2 great teachers from within. Now that's only going to last so long. So the tables have turned now because, and I hope a lot of administrators listen to this podcast as well, because you want to make your school the best it can be for everybody. And now teachers have a choice. So you want to start us off in some of the choices that teachers, some of the things they should look at when they go into, possibly before they even walk in or start checking out schools.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to, on that note, before we dive into this, I do want to say that like this was also happening in St. Louis. This is happening in Minnesota. This is happening in Wisconsin, like the whole Midwest. I can speak from like teaching in that area and like living in these different areas. Yeah. So, and I understand, from what I understand, it's a nationwide issue, and right, some states are even more dire than yeah, where we're at. Mm-hmm. And we live in big metropolitan areas. So living in a rural area has made me realize like how much of a teacher shortage there is and will continue to be. And also to speak to the fact that, like, in science, when I got hired, my last school district, so I've done the process that we're talking about twice, and it is this, like, you literally, just to paint a picture for maybe you are someone who's considering education, and so it's like you don't even know, like, what this teacher fair is. You would go to a school that would host it typically on like a Saturday or Sunday morning,
Yep, usually Saturday, yep.
at least in the Midwest, and you would go into like the cafeteria space, and they would have kind of these like short interviews, but they were all identical. Like, so everybody, it would be you're seeking a position, and you would meet with an administrator or some principal, a district leader, somebody in the district, and they would just ask you a series of questions and then basically rate you. And it was a qualifier to then basically either pass you along to, like, yes, this is somebody we are interested in if a position becomes available, or no, they're not really exactly, they don't fit like this school district. And I remember tons and tons of people like going to these, and as well as like it the first time I did it for a school district, one of them, I didn't get a job that spring. The timing was interesting. I could have if I had waited. The whole man, the teacher hiring process is so crazy, because once you like sign a contract, you are like locked in, and it's you can get blacklisted if you like defunct on it. So there's that. But the second time I did it, obviously I got the job in the school district. There were still a ton of people, and by 6 years after, okay, there were already not science teachers coming through that. And it was, instead of having like 10 to 20 applicants, and maybe even more if it was like a biology position, going down to one, maybe two. And we're talking one of the top high schools in the St. Louis area. And that is commonplace, unless you are the top. But basically, those school districts just recruit from other school districts. They like literally pick up the phone and call teachers and like re actively recruit them, right? Just like scouting or headhunting, like that they have the resources to do that. But most school districts do not have those resources. So it's like, now, okay, if teachers don't even realize that they have this kind of power, because like it's not like school districts are like letting you know, hey, we only had one applicant, it's you. They still make you go through this process and make you feel like that there are all these other candidates. And we're trying to like pull the curtain back and be like, there may be for certain, like maybe elementary schools, educators, like, because I know school districts have had like 200 plus applicants for one job back in the day, and now maybe it's only 10% of that, which puts you at like 20. So there are certain positions that still have a demand, but overall, you know, the more niche you are, the higher the demand is, and you may not even realize that you're in a power position. And so school districts need to understand this, and I think be a little more transparent. And then teachers can kind of like look for some items. So that is kind of, I think, setting the stage for this, and like what you may or may not know. We like to, you know, kind of disrupt things over here.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think it's going to take a little time for schools to really understand this, right? They move slow. They move slow, and they don't really realize it until it's too late. They're re School systems, if you don't know, are very reactive. They're not proactive. There's a few that are proactive, and that might be something you want to look for on this list that we're about to give you. But you know, I'm gonna just jump into number one, and this is usually the main thing that most people do around bigger areas. But you know, before I even jump into that, I want to say, you know, a lot of people will fall in love with their own school. Like they have worked at, they went to their own school, blah, blah, blah. It is not, try to take a little bit of emotion out of this, right? And that's what I'm, it's okay. I mean, your alma mater, you want to, a lot of people want to teach at their alma mater. That's all good and fine. And there's a lot of people who go through. But look, your alma mater might not be doing some great things for teachers. So because just because you went through as a student and you probably had a few great teachers, but that doesn't mean they're going to treat you well. So, or even pay you well, which is number one. Everybody checks salary. That's the biggest thing. You go into a contract. School contracts are actually public knowledge. If it's a public school, private schools, you're going to have to play around with that. But we're strictly looking at the public school system today. Check that salary, and it's in the contract usually somewhere, so you can see, all the different salaries that are out there on all the different years. If you're new to this is going to be new. You're going to start at base one. If you're like me, you're going to look at where do you land, and shop around, compare. There is 20, 30, $40,000 differences in these contracts per year, folks. So that's something that, is number one. Do you really want to, take a job at that school you love, where you could be hired, or you might be on a short list at a school where they're going to pay you $25,000-$30,000 more a year? So that's the first thing that I look at.
And also, just on that specific thing, some school districts want to try and get younger teachers, new hires. And so they tend to have a higher, like, first 5 to 10 year teacher salary. And then it drops down, it'll to be comparable or less than other school districts. And then other school districts have kind of, they really don't hire new teachers. And so they pay relatively low, but their jumps are higher. So you can actually kind of tell based off of their salary contract yearly, switches, for, which end of the spectrum they kind of try and recruit or keep, maintain. You see, that's something that I don't think everybody knows, but there are school districts that, well, in the past, maybe traditionally, they have never hired first year teachers unless they absolutely had to. Now they may be having to adjust that. But their pay structure may not be great in the beginning. It may get better later on. So it's just stuff that you can look this up, and it's worth checking because, like you said, it can be tens of thousands of dollars different, just by looking at somewhere across the river, than you would maybe even think to look. And some school districts have signing bonuses, even public school ones. They're not as common, but that is a thing that you that would not be in the base salary. That's usually a conversation that is had. I'm not sure exactly where, but it happens somewhere in the process.
Yeah, they need people, right? And if you're like me, if you are moving districts, you can get years, and sometimes you don't get years. So they may give you 5 years, and you've already taught 10, or, in my case, 18. So sometimes you look at those types of things, and if that's not your only thing, then that's fine. But they want to try, let's be honest, it's a tax body, and they're board members, and they're trying to really keep the costs low. However, when we're in a situation where you need teachers and you don't have them, that's what we're talking about here. So the second part, number two here that we have on our list here is, what kind of perks are they do they have? Like paying for extended education or a master's program? Do they match a 403B? How much time do you get off, per year, right? How many days do you have to go? But let's go back into like, go into like, I want to go back into the programs, right? I had to go back and get, I didn't have to, but I went to get my master's degree. I didn't get paid for it, but I do know some schools will reimburse that. I had to get a special license for a CTE. My school at the time where I was paid for that. I know the school where I'm at now does not. And then actually, one of the schools will match a 403B up to a couple percent. So it's basically free money putting that in. And that kind of goes into, there's two things here. We'll go into leave here and wellness and stuff in a minute. What have you had around, like, kind of, going on, continuing your education? Have you had anybody pay or anything like that?
Yep. So some school districts tend to not only pay for, I mean, it used to be really good where basically you could get, I think, 6 to 12 credits a year paid for. by a school district to advance yourself and move yourself up the pay scale ladder into a, bachelor's plus 15, bachelor's plus 30,
Right.
master's plus 15 credits, and master's plus 30 credits. And then I think it got reduced to maybe, like 3 to 6 credits a year, but okay, still great. And then also some school districts, after you get your master's, but maybe you don't want to pursue a PhD, will give you credit in within the district or with a partnering school that is paid for, that does move you within their pay schedule thing. So those are things to kind of look for. I've experienced both. And then same with the 403B or like retirement matching, that is definitely pretty common, at least in Missouri. And but it's oh there's something about like it being fully vested. You have to stay with a school district or within a state for a certain number of years. So like, read the fine print. Like if you just teach for like a year, it might not be there. So sometimes, and that's some of the stuff though that I think you don't necessarily find out until you're in the system, but they're like really good questions to ask up front. And also, I think now is the time for teachers to kind of push back on some of those things and demand kind of better benefits and better, pay structures, because it has been a season of reduce, reduce, reduce. Because I can remember when I was student teaching, and the school district that I was at was talking about some pretty significant budget cuts. This was in the 2012 era, 2013 era, and a lot of the population was dipping, which means there's less funding in dollars. And so they were cutting, non-essential, whatever that is considered in a school district, and trying to preserve teacher positions as much as possible. Well, we're just not in that position anymore. Now it's like the opposite. How do we keep and retain teachers, and how do we even like bring them into the school district? And so some of the policies that are in place around these types of benefits likely need to be reversed or improved. Like we need to stop the cutting back, because even if they weren't directly cutting teachers, they've been cutting benefits for years. It's not the golden era anymore with some of these things, but it's like now, in order to recruit teachers, they're gonna have to kind of decide, oh, maybe we do need to change some policies. And if teachers don't even know that this is like a possibility, then they might not even be asking for these types of things.
And then this is kind of a 2B, but that was 2A going into those. But the 2B is kind of like how many days do you get off a year? Because I know sometimes you get 10 sick days, you get 14 sick days. Is it cumulative or do you lose it, right? Do they take it to the next year, et cetera, et cetera? The other thing that's very important is like paternal or adoptive leave, right? That's a big one, especially if you're younger and you're thinking about having a family. That comes into play, and there are some, obviously there's state laws, but then there are also perks. Are there more that happen there as well? And then the one thing that's kind of coming up, especially with Gen Z, is, and even the millennials, is like the wellness programs. Like, what are these staff workout spaces? What are places where we have a lot of staff that actually work out in our building. We have a new facility, blah, blah, blah. Is that something that you're interested in? Because definitely you're gonna need wellness. So, what is it like for you? Because I know we get I think 12 sick days or something like that, and then we get 2 personal days, and then everything rotates forward into 14 if we don't take any to the next year. And we don't have to take our personal days, but in some school districts, you do have to take or you lose them.
Been in both. So the first school district I taught at, you got 10, and they were sick and personal. You use them for whatever you wanted. If you didn't use them, they could transfer to the next year. And if you stayed within the school district after 5 years, you got paid out for what you didn't use.
Oh, nice.
So an interesting policy, because some people obviously are not sickly and have worked there for 20 years and have maybe taken maybe one day a year. So you're looking at 200. Basically, like a whole school year worth of pay sitting there that the district is going to have to pay out at your current salary. So that is very uncommon now, because it's more costly for a school district to have that kind of policy.
Right.
However, if it that is a good policy from the teacher's perspective, I don't know how it fits in with like my personal feelings on, like encouraging people not to take sick days because it rolls
Right.
over. There is
Right.
that, side of things. But
Yeah.
I've also worked for a district where we had unlimited sick days, as long, like it, which is a also a very unusual policy. I feel like I've been on like kind of both ends of the
Yeah,
spectrum.
right.
And if you were sick for more than so many days, you had to like have a doctor's note and everything. But they found that having unlimited sick days, people actually used less and only used them when they needed them, rather than just some people would just use, if you have 10, I'm going to use 10. And
Right.
then we had 4 personal days that you could use for whenever, whatever. But they did not roll over. If you didn't use them, you
Yeah.
lose them. So I like, as someone who is young and healthy, I kind of like the rollover better.
Yeah.
But if I was, if and then sometimes people would take that kind of scenario to extend, a maternity leave, a paternity leave, et cetera.
Yep.
But there are pros and cons. So I think it matters of like where you are at in life and then what are you looking for, because these are drastically different and every school district has different policies
Right.
on that.
All of that is in contract language. And honestly, like, look, there's not, I mean, I don't know if I have my contract. I thought I had it right next to me. Oh yeah, here it is. And this is actually coming up this year. So it's a whole book, right? You can like look at that whole thing. Now, it looks like a lot. It's probably going to read a lot like you're in law school, but take a look at it and read through every school that you're interested in, because these answers are in there and there's some interesting stipulations in there. The other one is kind of on a report card. So this is the third thing, is the checking the school report card. Now, this is very something that I thought that was very interesting, because after I was in a certain amount of schools, I could see the difference in this number. Here it is. Check to see how often teachers take days off in that report card. Now, we have the 5 E's, but you can really check to see, are there 10, usually it's 10 or more days. What percentage of teachers take off 10 or more days a year? I will say it's highly likely that if a higher percentage of teachers are taking more than 10 days off, this is a stressful environment. And I guarantee you what I saw, it is spot on from the 5 schools that I've worked at. It is spot on, Allie. So I don't know if you've ever looked at that before.
I haven't personally looked at that, but thinking about, just in talking to lots of teachers over the years, teachers who do take a lot of leave time, for whatever reason, tend to perceive their job as in that environment as very stressful and it causes stress. So it's like it's almost and then if you see that from obviously a higher percentage of teachers, then that is an environment that is just in general causing people lots of stress. And so there are definitely trends. And I don't know if we have this specifically in the list, but also it's like teacher turnover rate is on a report card. And those are things that you can look up and for public schools at least. And because the general statistic is that, and it fluctuates, but it's around 50% of teachers leave within the first 5 years and then never return to the classroom. So you can kind of see, what percentage of a building is turning over. And these are like questions you can ask a school district. I'm pretty sure they have to give you that kind of information. They may not want to give you that information, but like
Another way to look at that is actually looking at the age ranges or the year experiences of teachers. So again, you can actually look that up on a school report card as well in certain states. I don't know if it's in all states, but you can see like how much of the staff is 1 to 5 years, how many, are into this. And if the majority of the staff is 1 to 5 years, look, it could be an anomaly, right? There could have been just a lot of retirements, but if it's consistent, it possibly could be a stepping stone district. and those occur. They're out there. So,
They are definitely out there.
yeah. So this is one that you've already done this year, but you're not looking for a teaching job, but sub at the school, right? So the fourth thing is sub at the school. Just go into the school. Trust me, they need subs, all right? So go into the school, apply, because and then really ask teachers questions. Be like the investigator inside the school. See what's going on. Is there a lot of like challenges in that school? Is the school clean? Is everything, are the kids respectful? Are they getting away with crazy things? Are they not? So all this kind of is the culture of a school, and you can really feel out a culture of the school and get the quote unquote real story of a school. So what do you think about
Absolutely.
that? 'Cause you subbed this year, so not that you were
I have
asking those
subbed.
questions. Yeah.
No, definitely. I mean, and I've subbed at a couple different school districts, and they are very, very different in the culture. And depending on what you're looking for, I don't know that those intangibles, they can't, you can't find them on, a district HR page. It's
Right.
not, you're not going to find it. And I think, when I'm thinking about this podcast episode and to those listening, it's not just teachers that, maybe are entering education. Certainly this would be helpful if you are. And so if you know someone who is, thinking about going in education, this would be a great podcast to like kind of give them some starting points. And Peter and I are personally happy to answer any specific questions people have,
Sure.
especially if you are looking for something in the Midwest area where we'd have more expertise. But I'm also thinking about like teachers out there who are feeling like they need to make a change. And like it can be, I can remember thinking like, oh man, it's stressful to like go and interview and there's so many applicants and all this stuff. Like now is the time. There's never been a better time for you as an educator to look for a different school district. And so maybe you can't sub, but you've been in education long enough to know like what you do and do not like. And even if you just go to like a sporting event or some kind of community event that's hosted, like you can get a feel for the space and whatnot to be like, you could make a change. And it's never been easier, I think, at least in the time that edu like in the last 30 years, for teachers to kind of look at these things and kind of really decide, is this the space for me?
Right.
And so these are just ideas to kind of help you if you're trying to pick a school. But really, if you're in a place where you're looking for a change, you may not even realize how different the process could be for you
Right.
and what
Yeah.
you can ask and what you can look at.
So let me jump into some more of those questions that you can ask even while you're there, subbing or even in the interview, right? So I'm going to put together a couple of the things that we have here, and these are all different questions, but you can ask about every school has got like a 5-year plan, right? They all come out and it's just a thing, right? So if you're not used to a 5-year plan, they have a 5-year plan. And I think asking fellow teachers, like, and not just one teacher, you're going to have to try to ask a lot of different people. But is it just repeating itself year after year? Is it just the same thing over and over again? The other thing is a committee heavy high school or committee heavy school. Committees, honestly, I'm sorry to say, don't get things done efficiently at all. That's my opinion. All right, but I've seen it for about 20 years in school. I'm sure you have. And ask teachers, is this a committee heavy school, and what gets done with your committees? And if they kind of say nothing, they're probably telling you the truth. And I like people making decisions, but a whole bunch of people coming together, it just muddies it up. But just kind of get the feel for that. And then the last question I'm going to wrap up in these three are, what is your day like? How much time do you feel like you get? You can ask another teacher, do you feel like you get time to, daily to help your reflections and grading? Like, what kind of outside of teaching time, outside of your preps, if you're in elementary school, how much time do you get a day? My wife, some days she just gets a half an hour, and some schools will give you more. So what is that like? And you know, block scheduling and the scheduled a day is kind of wraps up into that. So those three things, 5-year plan, what is it? Is it repeating committee? How many committees? Is there anything really get decided here? And then what's a day like? Do you feel overwhelmed? What are your thoughts on those three?
I can speak from personal experience that the school district I started at versus the one that I ended at had like not only was the pay better, but the planning time was doubled. So yeah, I instead of
Nice.
teaching like 6 out of 7 classes a day with a 50-minute plan period, and then on block days, there were days I got 0 time, Peter, 0 time off the entire school day. And then the next day, oh, I would get 90. I remember thinking that was insane, even, but it was just that was the job market. And I'm like, I mean, I worked so many hours after school. But to then go to a school district where I taught 5 of 7, so I would either get 2 50-minute slots or a 90-minute slot every single day, depending on the year they change schedules and stuff. And transformative from a not only did that mean I had less students, I had more plan time. And that was something I specifically looked for in a school district when I was applying, because I was it's wild, right? 30 minute, when you think about like a 30-minute plan, it's not a break. Like, I
Right.
hope
No,
people
it's not a
understand that
break.
it's not
I
a
mean, you have to
break.
run to the restroom.
It's literally time to sit and think and grade and plan and prep, especially in like the science and arts and all that stuff. Like, you're like setting up a lab or tearing down a lab, or I mean, I'm making solutions so that students can do the lab, like getting the equipment out of the chemical storeroom, or I mean, you're setting up some online activity, and I mean, you're getting copies made. Like, I think about your wife 30 minutes a day, like, wild. I remember having no minutes a day, and my mind was exploding how early I have to get to school just to be prepared for that day. And I mean, so these are things, if you're a school leader, like, and you can make a change, like, it sooner rather than later, I would, because these are things educators are becoming aware of, and they're like, I'm not putting up with these kind of working conditions, because to have 30 minutes just to do all of that stuff when you're not student facing is wildly like unrealistic.
And well, I think we're going to go into some innovative things here in a moment, but you know, kind of like what you're saying, you ask what preps you're going to teach, like what if you're in elementary, what grade level are you looking at? You know, what typically are the sizes of the classes, like you were saying there? How many people are in your department? You know, honestly, when you first come into a school, it's usually going to be like the quote unquote not so attractive classes. I mean, basics, you know, that are graduation requirements that you're gonna, you know, it's kind of weird that we do that. You know, don't really consider yourself for the quote unquote highly sought after academic classes, which by the way, I thrive in the classes that, you know, people are like, I don't want to teach that because I love the mix. I mean, I'm a weirdo, but like, you know, it's not going to be easy if it's your first year. If you're a seasoned teacher and you're switching, you know the rule, you know the game. So, that was something there. So, kind of going into that, you know, innovative change. There's a couple ones here that I like. I think you came up with a lot of these, Ellie. Was, you know, what is the school doing differently than other schools? Ask what are they really proud of. And again, I would do this in the interview, but also on that day when you're subbing or you're talking to people in the school, right? How do they implement innovative change? What initiatives have they really started? If you're a seasoned teacher and you're switching schools, you're either going to hear something way different, or you're going to hear the same lingo or maybe just a different acronym. So you're going to find out, okay, what is this implementing change? Is it really doing it, or is it just kind of a book cover, which sometimes schools will do to kind of facade like they're actually innovative schools? You know, maybe a few quick things. I know we can have an entire podcast about the innovative stuff that the schools are doing, but what are some of the things you found there?
So I know we're gonna kind of go in there. I know, so this was a before COVID, I had the opportunity to kind of teach a new school within the school district, and it was gonna be totally disruptive, and they were trying to like start it as a pilot, small program with, I think we'd have like 30 to 40 kids, and there'd be four high school educators, the core, and that was going to be like our focus. And it was super innovative, and like this was an initiative. And then COVID happened, and they totally ditched that. I think I've hit on that a little bit before, but the like that was a very innovative initiative that they were trying to literally within their own school district disrupt the traditional model. But in order to do that, they knew that they had to start small and prove that it was, and like that was something that was super attractive to me as an educator. It was like, yes, let's throw out the school day. Yes, it makes perfect sense how you and I started podcasting together, because I was already interested in this stuff well before we ever met. And honestly, that program being paused indefinitely and then basically put on the shelf when it was needed even more was a huge deterrent. So it's like I knew the school district wanted to, and I know that the district leaders, have to battle like so many things that I'm not even aware of. But it's like, are they doing that kind of stuff? There are, like we're gonna have a guest on later this come, I don't know, this month or next month, but around totally different way to do school, especially like junior and senior year. And those types of programs are sometimes, they're not the whole school district, but they're within it. And so it's like, even if you have a quote unquote traditional model school, what are they doing to push the envelope and maybe try to do that grab that what we talk about on the podcast all the time, these grassroots efforts that can kind of bloom into more. Do they have any kind of non-traditional models within the bigger system? Because some people just want the traditional system. They want their kid to sit in a seat for 7 periods, 8 periods a day for 45 minutes and switch. But then there are sometimes the local public school is all the parents know. And so it's like, but does that school district have anything else? And could you be working towards that or be hired to grow that type of initiative? And they are out there. They're out there more and more as we continue to find. But that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about, in terms of what programs do they have that aren't maybe like the what everybody does, but is something you're interested in particular that you could plug into. So those are some things that I think about, even if you're looking at a quote unquote traditional school model.
We're going to unpack some of those. Obviously, we have well, we'll throw it out there, the CAPS Network. We're going to have that one out. The 100th episode was Iowa Big, which was mentioned in the article that you sent me, Allie. I think that's a whole podcast, and I think we can do that. So look for something like that where we're talking about what are the real innovative things that schools are doing versus what they're saying they're doing, which is our second to last thing here, is kind of putting together, how strong is the is this teachers union if they have a union, right? So some schools don't have unions, some do. And who can talk to you about the state of the school system? I would ask, in again, I think it's super important to jump into a sub role and talk to people on the inside to get the real story, because everything else is going to be fluff, folks. This is politics, right? There's going to be smoke and mirrors at every school there is, even your own kid's school, there's smoke and mirrors. Okay. But having this conversation and asking, do you have a strong union or not? Like the teachers will tell you if they do or not, if there's a union in place. I like the idea of understanding who the local school board is. I know you put this down here, Allie, about like maybe you want to go to a meeting, but I will tell you, it's BS. I'm sorry. It is. They're not. However, there are some that are very dysfunctional. And I think that's an important thing to look for here. So if you're looking in the news at a certain school district and you see like, five or six previous school board members have bounced before the end of their term, you got yourself a problem. You got yourself a community and school that's disaligned. There might be, and it doesn't, I'm not saying, look, here's what people, most people think is this is like a socioeconomic thing with underprivileged areas. No way. Like your extremely wealthy areas, usually on the ends of the spectrum, if you're extremely poor area where socioeconomics is and there are people struggling or there are people with a ton of money, that's where you usually find these problems. Not all the time. I'm just saying, look out for those because you can see, and you know what? Google it. See if the school's in the news. What's happening, right? Is there a lot of good stuff? Is there a ton of crazy stuff? Which there's a ton of crazy stuff out there. You got to do your homework on that. What are your thoughts on that? Have you sat with in a school board meeting before?
I
If
most
I can't
certainly have.
sleep, I usually go to them. So I'm just kidding.
They are eye-opening.
They are eye-opening. They're not
They're
all
very
bad,
eye-opening.
but yeah.
And I will say that COVID and the pandemic completely transformed
Yep.
how involved people were in those meetings. And
Yes.
like, there was never a hotter time to
Yeah.
be at those meetings
Yeah.
than during the pandemic. Now, I don't know how much it's cooled off. Like, I haven't gone to one since I left,
Right.
but it's interesting how they can be a source for you to get a gauge on the community involvement side.
That's true. That's true. I came off a little harsh there, but you know,
No, but I
yeah.
mean, I think more than before, because of coming off of the pandemic, like, what are the conversations that school districts are having? Are they having the conversations that they've had basically pre-pandemic,
Right.
or have the conversations changed? And like, this is where you can get a sense of actually of initiatives that are either currently being proposed, or like in the works. That's one of the best places, even if it is, quote unquote, smoke and mirrors, which it can be. At least you can get a sense for like what a school district is prioritizing. So if you can't sub because you're like currently in a role, you could get kind of a state of like global picture, at least of like what is this school district even conversating about
Right.
that could be interesting to you. It could not be, but at least it would give you some sense of, what do they think is important? Because that is the public forum.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely something to be said about the school board meetings.
It's good to meet school board members, honestly, because you'll know right away, is this person, and you know, are they in it because they have their own kid and they're just trying to make this, you know, system? Are they really attached to it? Honestly, how long have people been on the school board? If you've had people, and I don't want to get ageist here, but I will because I'm old. If people are on that school board for 20 years straight, probably not going to see innovation. I mean, you're probably not. You're gonna see somebody holding on to tradition there a little bit, in my experience. So I'll throw that out there. Here's the glass. I love that you put this on our list, Allie. Look, if all this is just way too crazy for you, there's other roles outside of traditional education, right? Are there homeschool networks, charter programs, private institution, even your local community college? What other models of teaching are available that you haven't maybe not even considered to trying? I mean, if this is all like, I don't even want to get involved with this, corporate training, curriculum writing, there's so much out there. So yeah, now, and you've taught in public and private, is that right?
Yep, I have
Yeah.
taught in public and private, and then also at the college level. And so I think there is something to be said from like once you kind of think about what else could be out there, even supplementally, you'd be surprised. And the demand, again, it might not be in ed tech right now, but there is a need for educators in lots of spaces that maybe you would not have been previously quote unquote qualified for, like a local community college that could give you a vastly different experience that now they're willing to take someone with a master's and like and the amount of things you can teach would be much wider than it maybe it would have been 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're looking at non-traditional schools, quote unquote, private institutions, religious based faith-based programs or local homeschool networks, you would be surprised. I think just looking at what kind of possibilities you could have if you're just looking for a change, you know, like the it's just like I never considered those things until I left education. I don't know why. Right, like I left the traditional model, and then man, we have so many ideas for how school districts can innovate. It's like I want to dive in, but I know we're gonna wrap this part up. But like understand that there not only is this just like a kind of I don't know like what you can look for, but now I think is the time for what do teachers need to ask for? That's where we're headed with the podcast.
If I had to go back, and I'll leave this question for your final thought as well, but if I had to go back and go into what I would do differently, going into trying to find school districts, if I was in a position that schools are in today or are going to be in shortly, where they really can't just pick and choose anyone they want. They're going to have to look and they're going to have to sell. I would definitely go in and sub a couple times. I would definitely have conversations with all, like at least five different educators in that building, and really kind of get the thought process of what's happening in the school. So I hope this list that we've given you is very, very valuable. It can be overwhelming, but look, man, this could be your entire career, and you might find that fit that fits perfect. Allie, what would you do differently if you could go back, but it's now, where you are like sought after?
I would use like all that experience of the crazy things I accepted as normal and I would push back on them. I honestly I think there is a space to do that, and there is nothing more precious than your time and attention. And a school district is basically locking your time and attention for 180 plus days with that contract. And so consider that. And like, I guess I really didn't. I mean, like, it's not coming from a place of pessimism with the educational space. It's just like, I didn't think I even had a voice to ask for these things. And as well as like from the first school district to the second school district, I looked for a lot more. I was very specific, and I would not have even considered half of this list because you don't know what you don't know. You literally, it's like if you don't understand that only having 30-minute break is abnormal and that the other school districts don't offer this because you didn't ask, then like now you have a question to ask. So there's just how many, what is the, I mean, I just think about like, what is the maximum class size? I wouldn't have even thought to ask that before I started. And like, I would be very interested in that question now. And, you know, it's like you'll kind of figure out what is important to you. And a podcast like this can kind of at least shape your mind into like, oh, wow, like these are differences. And there's so many we haven't covered, but I mean, like, these are some of the big ones, and not every school does things the same. And so the right fit for you, Peter, would be different than the right fit for me and the right fit for whoever's listening to this podcast. So if you have someone who is in education and is even possibly considering a change, and they want like kind of a just a listen to, they don't want to open a book, they don't want to read another article, they want to listen to some ideas, this would be the one to share to them, or someone who's considering going into education. What does it look like in today's world? Teachers have the power seat. There's lots of opportunities here for school districts to innovate and attract and retain teachers, which is what we're going to get into next. But just know that at least you have something from your end going into these teacher fairs of things to ask and look for so you can make the best decision for you, because honestly, you're in a power seat right now. And if you don't know it, we're telling you.
100%. So if you were missing anything, let's drop a comment in here, wherever we're posting this, obviously YouTube, Spotify, any just Disrupt Education on any podcast channel. You guys know you found us here, but share it out as well. And if you have any comments, let us know. I would love to hear what things maybe we missed. Maybe we can highlight even more. But I know Allie and I are going to go into the other side of things, talking to school districts. Look, let's get innovative, right? Your kids deserve the best. Let's see how you all can do that. So with that little teaser out there, we're going to wrap it up today. For Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you all for hanging out with us today on the Disrupt Education podcast. Until next time. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college, campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.